Hello there, and welcome to the Nerd Podcast, that's never-ending retro dialogue. I am your host, Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
And today is a nice kind of day, I guess. I don't know.
It's your typical April day in Ohio.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Golfed for the first time yesterday.
Wow, ever?
And, yeah. Yeah, so April's a little bit later than usual, later than I would prefer, but, weather.
Weather.
So, but yesterday was beautiful, it was like in the 70s.
Yeah, yesterday was
oh
nice.
My gosh, it was a great day. Of course, by the time people listen to this, it'll be, June or July, so it'll be like, what?
It'll be hot.
Just, hopefully April is a distant memory by the time you're hearing this.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful day, so it was nice. How about you?
Good. You know, as we were talking about right before the show, I went to a live Whose Line Is It Anyway event last night. That was really fun. It was reminiscent of my college days.
Your ute?
When I was in an improv troupe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did I never tell you that?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. I used to be in the college improv troupe.
Well, we need to talk about that more in the... end of the month podcast.
Yeah, we definitely will.
That's interesting. Yeah. What was your forte? Did you have anything that you specifically...
It's funny that you asked that because I was really good at the dating game.
Okay.
Being a contestant that was an inanimate object, they would always give me inanimate objects. Like one time they were like, you're a white wicker chair. And I was like, what? And I was able to do it somehow. So
interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny. Maybe that's, maybe we, for our D&D group, since we're taking about 2 months off.
Yeah.
One of the times when we get together, we do a little improv.
Yeah.
Do a session of the dating game, and Jordan can be a guillotine
off.
Or something.
Yeah, I can dust off the boots.
Yeah. Oh, how fun. You and Kate could delve into your theatrical training.
Yeah.
And really have some fun. Yeah. That could only help us
in
our next
true.
Campaign.
That's true.
Ah, I like that. Very cool. Anything else big going on?
Oh, not much. Just, here.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Live.
The here and now. We're live. Now. Getting ready to talk about...
Well, wait. Let me complain about something.
Oh.
There's construction on the way to your house.
Construction.
I'm getting to that point where it really bothers me. So.
You're that much step closer.
Yep.
You're that another step closer to being a curmudgeon-y old man.
Soon I'll be part of an HOA.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you. Hey, don't get me started on HOAs.
Yeah, I know.
HOAs and grocery resets. Hate them.
Hate them.
Hate them.
Well, let's talk about something more pleasant.
You know what? We are going to talk about an angel among us.
A hero among men.
A saint. A beacon for all those who wish to be a better person in life. Have we oversold this?
No, I think we've undersold it.
Oh, okay.
Today, we will be talking about the world of the one and only Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. You know what I got to say about this episode? It's groovy.
Groovy?
It's groovy. Let's go. Let's do you think go. Anyone out there doesn't know who Bruce Campbell is?
Yeah, I'm sure they are people who don't.
Not the ones that listen to our show.
Not the ones that listen to our
show.
They know
who Bruce,
know
Campbell,
who Bruce
is.
Campbell is.
But we're going to talk to him about... Talk to him. We're going to talk to you about him anyways. Yikes. What was your first memory of who Bruce Campbell was? What did you first see him in?
The original Evil Dead.
Okay.
Watched it way too young.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who Bruce Campbell was at the time. And probably didn't really register with me because I was so young. I'll be honest, the thing about the first Evil Dead that stuck with me is the pencil to the ankle.
Yes.
That scarred me for life. I probably saw that when I was like 9 or 10 and it really scarred me for life.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I was in college later that I really got an appreciation for who Bruce Campbell was.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there was a time around Halloween where we did the trilogy marathon.
Okay.
And I was really grooving for Bruce at that point.
Yeah.
What about you?
So, like you, I believe I saw Evil Dead first. I would have been a little bit older, but I didn't know who Bruce Campbell was.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't. Back then, it was just, oh, watch this. The first time when I was really conscious of who Bruce Campbell was a little show called The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. They always aired, I think they ran at different times, but my memory was that Dad would watch it on like Saturdays before he would go into work. It was on like Fox or something, mm-hmm. or maybe it was Sundays. And it was just one of those short-lived shows. It was one season. I'm not even sure how many episodes. I have it on DVD because I bought it for Dad for his birthday 1 year. But as we were watching it, Dad goes, well, you know that's the guy that was in Evil Dead, right? And I'm like, no. And so went back and watched the Evil Deads and Army of Darkness. It's like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, but no, anyone who doesn't know what Briscoe County Jr. is, it's basically kind of a blend of Wild Wild West and, oh, what would you say, like Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Or it was just, it was so weird because you had science fiction, but you also had the Old West, and you had a really smart horse. And Briscoe County Jr. is trying to find his dad. And then there was this other thing he was trying to find. And it escapes me right now. There was some kind of orb.
Yeah, it was an orb of some sort.
But you had this other bounty hunter that he was always at odds with. And it was just a goofy, fun show. And it didn't take itself too seriously. It was just an absolute blast. It was one of those ones that when it was announced it wasn't coming back, we were both kind of upset.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just, I want to read the synopsis for this. a bounty hunter rides Old West fighting bad guys, many with futuristic-type gadgets. Hired by local robber barons, Harvard Law graduate Briscoe County Jr. searches for the members of the infamous John Bly Gang. The same men who killed his father, a famous marshal and Western legend, accompanied by his one-time rival and fellow bounty hunter, Lord Bowler, Briscoe rides through the West trying to bring his father's killers to justice. Along the way, he encounters mysterious golden orbs, there we go, with strange abilities and colorful characters who help or hinder his mission as he hunts down the Bly Gang one by one. So yeah, it was goofy. It was slapstick. It was just a blast. And
yeah, I feel like that show was kind of ahead of its time. Like, I feel like if that was on now, people would be like, oh, it's Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Well, and plus, I think with the way they've done it, it would be better received. It just, you know, it wasn't on at a good time. It was just, you know, yeah. People weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
What I think would be fun is if Bruce Campbell brought back Briscoe County Jr. at the age he is now, kind of do like he did with Ash for Evil Dead, which we'll get to, but and kind of do an update.
Right.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. I'd watch that.
Yeah. But yeah. So that was my first real knowledge. And then, you know, you just start seeing them everywhere, right? Yeah. Once you realize who someone is, then you're like, oh, especially someone like Bruce, who categorizes himself as a B-movie actor.
Right.
You know, he's just all over. If you go to his IMDb page, IMDb, Lord, I'm going to have a stroke in the middle of this episode. He has like 424 credits to his name. Now, that's voice acting and everything else. But, I mean, that's how you keep money on the table, right?
That's right.
Or food on the table. Money in your bank.
Money on the table. I like that.
But then, right after Briscoe County, you see him in Hercules and Xena. But he also directed some of those episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's what I was reading. I did a little research, and I was reading his biography.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think most people would know him from the Evil Dead franchise, obviously. Maybe Burn Notice?
Yeah, I think a lot of modern people would know him from
Burn Notice.
But also Burn Notice is his most normal role, so...
Correct, yeah. It's like the one that's least goofy, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's
most straightforward.
So, we need to go back in time now. Evil Dead.
Yeah.
It's the late 70s. Bruce has got a friend named Sam, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard of him, Sam Raimi. He's done a few things since then. But Bruce raises $350,000.
Wow.
So that they can make this movie. And apparently it took them like 4 years to make Evil Dead. To the point where some of the people who were involved couldn't help finish it. So Sam creates something that's known throughout all of his movies, the fake Shemps. Have you noticed that? When you watch his credits, you'll see Shemp.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, so in every Sam Raimi movie, and then of course you've got Bruce Campbell in most of them too, you'll have Shemp, 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 Shemp. And what that's an allusion to is Sam Raimi was a huge Three Stooges.
Right.
I know it sounds like I'm doing a Sam Raimi episode right now. I swear we get back to Bruce Campbell.
They're inseparable. Yeah.
They're intertwined. But he was such a huge Three Stooges fan. But Shemp Howard had a heart attack and died, but they had started making all of these different shorts. And they had to finish them. So they used a guy as a body double, but wouldn't do his face. So they would just always have him turn and whatnot. So it looked like it was Shemp, but that was it.
Yeah.
So Sam does that in every movie where they just started naming him fake Shemp and this and that. So Bruce actually has credits in a couple of Sam Raimi movies as a Shemp, like in Darkman, he was a Shemp. He was also supposed to be in The Quick and the Dead, but his scenes were deleted and they were never in the final showing. But yeah, so the fake Shemp.
Ooh.
So though that's what it started in Evil Dead, and it was because that it took so long to make that they had to use body doubles. So Bruce was a body double, Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi, and then their other friend, oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name. I can't think of it right now. But there was another person that was integral in getting Evil Dead made. And so by the time they did it, guess where Evil Dead was a hit first?
Japan.
No. The UK.
Really?
The UK was a huge hit in the UK, was highly regarded and was being consumed like crazy. So then that's when a studio in the US decided, well, okay, we'll go ahead and release it. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there we go. That's how it all started.
Wow.
That's what Bruce Campbell just catapults from there.
Yeah.
It can only get better.
Right.
Right. Wow. Now, what's your take on Evil Dead 2? We gotta talk about that, right? Because
Evil Dead 2 is probably the best of the trilogy because it balances everything just perfectly. Because Evil Dead 1, so much of a horror movie. Evil Dead, or Army of Darkness, such a slapstick comedy. Evil Dead 2, though, Dead by Dawn, just balances all of that out and really tells a scary story that has some humorous moments and does it perfectly, I think.
Yeah.
And you get the groovy line. And because in the first one, Ash is kind of like not really a hero very much. And then in the second one is when Ash really becomes Ash, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Army of Darkness, you have a different kind of Ash who's been through Evil Dead 2.
He's seen it.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about Evil Dead 2 is it's kind of a remake / sequel.
And that's what I was trying to get at, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That's kind of an interesting, because you don't really see that very often. But they kind of retell the story of Evil Dead 1, but it's also sort of a remake, so
yeah,
it's very interesting.
I remember the first time I watched Evil Dead 2, and I'm pretty sure my dad was there. And as it started, I'm like, I thought this was Evil Dead 2. He goes, it is. And I'm like, isn't this the same movie? It looks the same. So then I was trying to figure out, well, are the characters different except for his? But I think the names were the same, yeah, too. Yeah. It was just, it was literally like, we like that movie. Can you make it again?
Yeah.
But here's more money to make it. So yeah, it was wild, but I agree. I love Evil Dead 2 because it really, you still have the horror, but you have some of the comedy with it.
Yeah.
And they just terrorize Bruce Campbell in, yeah, that movie, getting the plate smashed over his head constantly. He's doing all those pratfalls and the flips and the somersaults and the... He's just getting his butt handed to him. Well, not to mention they cut off his arms, right, so that he could put a chainsaw on him. I mean,
well,
actors would do that.
I'll tell you a little story. I'll regale you with a little story, if, ooh, I may.
Let's hear it.
Back in college, my roommate Harlan was making a movie. He had to make a movie for class.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I was fully into Bruce Campbell. And so we made a little short film called The Man with the Shotgun Hand. And it's basically Evil Dead.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And except for he loses his hand and replaces it with a shotgun. And there's a couple great things about this little movie. The first one is that I got to do many outtakes saying something, a one-liner, when I replaced my hand with a shotgun.
Uh-huh.
Of course I said groovy.
Yes.
That was not in the script, though.
Uh-huh.
I believe the final one we went with was, it's no chainsaw, but it'll do.
It's okay.
And the other best part is, this is probably my favorite part, though. I went through some physical stuff in that short film.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, I get my head smashed into some cabinets.
Uh-huh.
And you can see the outtake where I go, I'll do anything for you, Bruce. Or, no, I think I said, I'll do this for Bruce. And I just smashed my head into the cabinet. And I was quite a interesting guy in college. I was in several short films and...
Nice.
But yeah, that was my favorite one, The Man with the Shotgun Hand.
Now, here's my question. Can we get our hands on a copy of The Man with the Shotgun Hand?
You know, I'll have to ask Harlan, but I'm sure he still has it somewhere.
Because I would love to have a viewing party for the D&D group. Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
I don't know how long it was. It was a very short film, but basically, like, there's something in the water, and yeah, it's turning them into deadites.
Uh-huh.
Because Harlan was really into the Army of Darkness, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, also, you know, not two, as in Dead Before Dawn. But he was really into Army of Darkness as well, and so we were just kind of setting out to make an homage to Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. And I don't know if I should tell this part, but I just remember there's a really good scene where... I'm in the kitchen. So I've rescued a girl. She's out. She was a friend of ours, and she was in the movie, and she was like smashing on the door trying to get in. And so I take her in, and I give her a glass of water, and she's sitting in the front room. And I'm in the kitchen, like oh man, like this is crazy, you know. I'm just like leaning against the wall, and then I hear the broadcaster like, don't drink the water. But I've already given her the water.
Oh no.
And so I get this look on my face, and Harlan was like, man, that was such a good take. Like, how did you do that? And I said, oh, that look on my face? And he's like, yeah. I said, I just pretended I pooped my pants.
The smell, the fart acting.
So
there we go.
It was just such a look of sheer terror and shock. So.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, that was a huge moment for me as a Bruce Campbell fan.
Man with the shotgun hand.
Man with the shotgun hand.
Now, was it a pump shotgun, a double barrel shotgun?
It was a toy pump shotgun.
Okay. Okay.
So, and we had to... Oh, my God. This is the worst part, though. We had to cut my hand off.
Uh-huh.
So, my hand was shoved down a garbage disposal.
Oh, jeez.
So, we get my hand down there, you know... At this angle where it looks like it's in there, and we just like spray blood all over the place.
Nice.
Fake blood. And then because of it looking like, you know, it's just got cut off, I had to wrap a piece of raw chicken around my hand.
Oh God!
In a towel, and I had it on there for like two. You know how filming goes. Yeah. I had it on there for like 2 or 3 hours.
Oh.
And it was just that was disgusting.
Oh.
But I did it for Bruce Campbell.
Did it for Bruce.
Is the moral of the story?
Oh my God, that is fantastic.
I don't know if I ever told you that story.
You definitely have not. Okay. That is fantastic.
Yeah,
and you saved it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I was thinking about that the whole time when we were talking about doing this one. I was like, I have to tell him about the man with the shotgun hand if
that
I've never told him before.
Great. I never did anything cool like that in school.
Well, you know, I was just like, I'll do anything to get a laugh.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic. Where do we go from there?
Yeah,
man.
No.
The man with the shotgun hand.
The man with the shotgun hand.
Gosh, I am beside myself. That's awesome.
I always wanted to make a comic out of it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you go to a con and you get Bruce Campbell to sign
up. Ah, yeah.
That, man. well, I am completely...
I just showed you a whole new world.
That is awesome. Some movies. Evil Dead, Army of Darkness. So yeah, Army of Darkness.
I love Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness is great. So anyone who doesn't know, do we give the spoilers away for 40-year-old movies?
Yeah, I guess so.
So at the end of Evil Dead 2, he sucked into this, like, you know, portal, right?
Yeah.
He reads the words from the Book of the Dead, and it opens it up, and everything gets sucked into there, and including him in his car, and he lands in medieval times.
Yeah.
And then that's where Army of Darkness picks up. So they're fighting Deadites in the 1600s, 1400s,
yeah,
whenever the heck it is. You've got... oh, Lord. What's his name? He was in Seinfeld. Ian Abercrombie played the wizard or whatever he was. The Merlin-type character.
Yeah.
And, gosh, who else was in that?
I don't know if anybody that I know is in that.
Yeah. But again, you know, it is pure slapstick.
Yeah.
There's no real horror to it. I mean, some, I guess. The evil Ash is fun, because they did the whole bit again where he gets things get duplicated off of him, right?
Yeah,
he gets split, and you got two Ashes, and then one grows into an evil Ash, and that's who they're fighting at the end. And I know who I was thinking of. Bridget Fonda was supposed to be in it.
Oh, really?
She's in the deleted end scene. So if you have the director's cut of it. When he's back. So at the end of the movie, there's a different ending. So you know how in the theatrical release, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes type, where he's too far into the future.
That's the alternate.
That's the alternate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because in the theatrical one, in the regular one, it's where he shoots the...
That's right. So that's Bridget Fonda in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I quote Army of Darkness probably the most because I actually use it as a sort of motivational thing, because when he talks to them and he says, "You primitive screwheads,"
yes,
whenever I'm doing art,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, if a primitive screwhead in the 1500s could paint this picture, then I can do it with the internet. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I use that primitive screwhead all the time.
Primitive screwhead.
People think I'm being mean, but I'm just quoting Army of Darkness.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, Army of Darkness has a great scene where there's a bunch... Is it Army of Darkness that has the little Ashes? Or
yes.
Is that Evil Dead 2? Sometimes they blur together in my mind.
They do blur together, but it's Army of Darkness.
Yeah, they've got the little Ashes, and that's a really good one. And Evil Ash is really good. And you get the Shop Smart, Shop S-Mart there.
Yes, at the end, yep.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't believe I got those endings mixed up. The problem is I've watched both of them.
Yeah.
And both of them several times that it's confuses me sometimes.
Well, I get them all mixed up too.
Yeah.
But
it happens.
Now, we would be remiss if we didn't say Evil Dead spawned a musical.
Oh, believe me, I was going to talk about Evil Dead the musical. So let's go ahead and talk about
it.
So we came across Evil Dead the Musical. I think Sharon was the first one who found out about it. And so Evil Dead the Musical was an off-Broadway thing that they did. And they literally took pieces from each of the three movies and kind of just mashed it together. And you had this kind of full-on story with all these different songs in there. But what was great about it is you had the splash zones. So when someone got killed, or someone killed a deadite, or someone got bit or stabbed in the ankle with a pencil, or, you know, whatever, you'd have this blood just spewing out. So we found out that a local theater group was putting it on in a woods in between Marysville and Delaware.
Yeah.
And they had rented this land, I believe. So you drove down this little drive past a cornfield, and then there's this big wide open area, and you just parked. And then you would pay for your tickets, and then you would walk another quarter mile or so into the woods. You were in the woods, and they had built this stage in the middle of the woods, and they had all these generators, and in different spots of the stage, they had these basically air guns. So that, and you went to this one with us. Did you go to this one or the one up in Canton with us?
I think I went to the one in Canton because it was further away.
It was further away. And so they would actually shoot blood at you.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. And then they also, the actors had blood packs that they would pop and throw at you. But the air guns are what got you the most. And they would just spew blood, like when Ash is cutting off his hand, and when he's cutting his girlfriend's head off, blood is literally just nonstop going into the audience, and you're just getting drenched. And so, yeah, we ended up going to that production. They did that production for 2 or 3 years. Ooh, I'll have to ask Sharon. But we ended up, my buddy Steve, who you've met, that's how we met. They were, him and his significant other were sitting up there, Aaron. Him and her were standing up there, and we just kind of started talking. And then we came again, and they were there. So then we started planning when they were coming, and we would meet them up there. And then we would take, oh gosh, our friends start going with us. It was just a blast. The group ended up, some of the actors kind of swapped out. And then I think that group has done it a few times in like this bar in downtown Columbus, but I don't think they've done it for a few years, 2 or 3 years now. But there was a group that you went with us, that's right, up to Canton. And they did it in an old factory or an old warehouse. The problem was is that it was in like October or September, and it was so cold, and the warehouse didn't have any heat, and that blood was freezing.
I'm surprised none of us got pneumonia.
Oh, man. That was... The play itself was fun, but it was... Oh, my God. That was miserable. Now, we actually went up, me and Sharon went up to see Steve and Aaron at another production, and they did it in a very tiny little place, and they still did the blood, but I don't think it was as bad, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that was fun. I mean, the Evil Dead the Musical... I got to read some of the song titles, because we actually own the original Broadway one on CD, and the music is just hilarious. So I will have to edit some of these. Of course, you have the opening, Book of the Dead,
yep,
where it just talks about what it is. Then there's a campy fun romp called Cabin in the Woods. Cabin in the Woods, oh yeah. So then there's, well, that's not a song. That's just them talking. Then there's Houseware's Employee, where it's Bruce and his, or it's Ash and his girlfriend talking about how unlikely it was they fell in love. Then you have The Evil Trees, It Won't Let Us Leave. Look Who's Evil Now is such a fun one. And that's when you start getting the Deadites to show up. And then you have What the F Was That, which is just such a fun song. And one of the lines is, I still have some Shelly on my shoe, because they just blasted Shelly with a shotgun. Then you got Good Old Reliable Jake. Death is a you-know-what. I'm Not a Killer. Bit Part Demon is probably one of my favorite ones. And that's the fiance who became a demon, and he starts singing and Ash blows him away. All the men in my life keep getting killed by Kandarian demons. Yeah. That's a great one. Do the Necronomicon. Awesome song. It's Time. We Will Never Die. And then Blew the B Away. And then it ends with Groovy. It is just such a... And I'm pretty sure you can probably find Evil Dead the Musical songs on Spotify or other streaming services. It is a blast. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell signed off on it when they first did the idea. I don't know that for sure, but I thought I remember reading that where...
It seems like they approached.
But yeah, Evil Dead the Musical was such a fun time.
Yeah, it was a very unique experience. The intermission, I remember this, is when he's cutting his girlfriend's head off. And it just keeps raining blood.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it was freezing. And I just, it was, oh, this whole thing.
It just doesn't stop. It just does not stop. Linda.
That's what I thought it was.
It is. And he just keeps saying, die, die, yeah. Die, die, die. And then it's just, I will have to find a picture of me. So one of the earlier ones, once we started going a little bit more and they knew who we were, they had me sit in a specific spot. And I got coated. And so I'll find the picture and send it to you so you can post it along with this. Or we can put it in the comments. Because, yeah, I was drenched. But we would go... So, every time after going to see Evil Dead, we would stop at a Waffle House and eat. Because,
that's right.
You know, why not? We're covered in blood. Might as well be at the Waffle House.
Probably not the only people covered in blood that night.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. But, hey, back to Bruce.
Yeah.
So, let me hit a couple of his, bit parts in the bigger movies.
Yeah.
So, did you know? I did not realize this. I had to go back and look. He was in Escape from L.A.
Yeah, he's the Surgeon General or whatever. But yeah, he has, prosthetics on his face, yeah, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, Surgeon General Beverly Hills. Completely did not remember that. Sky High. He was Coach Boomer in Sky High. Which... Anyone who hasn't watched Sky High, you got to watch it.
It's such a great movie. It's so underrated for Disney.
It is an underrated. Did we talk about Sky High in our underrated movie?
I don't think so.
In episode two, part two of underrated movies. But yeah, Sky High is such a fun movie. Kurt Russell's in it. He's Coach Boomer. He's the gym coach. And he's just a loudmouth. He was in Congo.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. He was the voice of the mayor for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah, that's right.
He's done a ton of voice work in video games, like in all the Amazing Spider-Man games, Call of Duty. He's done a ton of voice work. The thing I love about Bruce Campbell, and I know you know where I'm already going with this, is Bubba Ho-Tep.
Yes.
Bubba Ho-Tep is one of the greatest movies in the world. I love watching it. If you haven't, you need to. Bruce Campbell plays Elvis. Although, well, I guess there's debate about that, right?
It's ambiguous, yeah.
Is he Elvis, or is he an Elvis, a guy who thinks he's Elvis, or an Elvis impersonator? But he's old, he's nearing the end, talks about different, you know, ailments he has in the movie that we won't discuss here. I probably let Maddie watch that movie too young, and then so for a while she kept talking about,
I remember.
Yes. So, Sharon loved that. Then you got Ozzie Davis is in it, and he believes he is JFK. And he talks about how, well, they changed his skin color, and they put a sandbag in the back of his head, and that's how he's able to walk around. Or wheel around, because he's in a wheelchair. They're in a nursing home down in the swamp, and Bubba Ho-Tep is this mummy who just feeds off of these old people. And he's dressed like a cowboy. He's got boots and a hat. And Elvis and JFK decide that they've had enough. And there we go. And it is just such a stupid movie, but so fun. It is just great. I would call that a cult classic, wouldn't you?
Oh, it's definitely a cult classic.
Yeah. Which I don't know if we talked about Bubba Ho-Tep in the cult classic.
Oh, I bet we had to have. I don't know. Things are starting to blur.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and re-listen to ourselves.
Bubba Ho-Tep is an interesting one because I was actually, that was another one that I was introduced to in college. And it was actually my professor who recommended it. He said, if you guys want a good movie, watch Bubba Ho-Tep. And it's just so funny because that's not a movie that you would think a college professor would recommend. So.
Yes, it is definitely low on the, what's the word I'm looking for? Educational.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't strain you as far as intelligence-wise. But it is, God, it is great.
I don't know if he was bringing it up because it was based off a short story.
Yes.
Or novella or something.
Oh. Okay.
It's a shorter book. It's not a full-length book.
Yeah. I'll have to try to find that. I bet that's fun.
Yeah, I can't remember who wrote it.
But yeah, that is one of my favorites. Now, up to that, and well, including maybe even after, he does the string of just crazy B-movies, right? You've got a movie called Terminal Invasion, which is... and then you've got Alien Apocalypse.
Yeah, we watched that one.
We have watched that one. I own Terminal Invasion, too, because I've got, like, the 3-pack.
Yeah.
I've got... And then the other one's The Man with the Screaming Brain, which he directed.
Oh, I still want to see that.
It is... The Man with the Screaming Brain is fantastic. Again, none of these movies are Oscar-worthy.
Right.
But they are just... They're a blast. And Bruce Campbell just has this way of delivering lines. This snarkiness, I guess. That's just... It's fantastic. You know, it's the whole, I'm the guy with the gun, you know. But yeah, so you've got those. There's some other ones. There's the great My Name is Bruce. Have you watched that?
I still haven't seen that.
I own that too. And so that's basically, he plays himself and these group of people who are fans of his think that he's able to help them because of all these movies he's been in.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of thrown into this awkward position, you know, kind of like with Galaxy Quest and whatnot. Mm. And it's just, it's goofy, it's stupid. And he's just running around. He's playing a caricature of himself too. He's just playing like this bumbling version of himself. It's just hilarious. That's a good watch. More recently, he was in the movie Black Friday. Did you watch that with Sharon and I?
No, that's the horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
The kid from Final Destination's in it. what's his name? Devin
Sawa?
Sawa, yeah. He's in it. Bruce Campbell's the manager of a department store, and it's Thanksgiving, and so they're getting ready for that, but there's an alien invasion.
Oh.
And so they're having to deal with that. Aliens or monsters, same thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so and Bruce is playing the sniveling little manager. He's not much of a hero in that one. It's Devin. But he definitely adds the comedic effect. But and then after that, well, in between all that, he revised Ash.
Yeah.
With Evil Ash versus the Evil Dead, which was a show on Stars.
Stars or Showtime? No, Stars. Stars.
And now, this may make me a bad fan. I watched season one, loved it.
Yeah.
I own season two and three, have not watched
them yet. I'm the same way. I haven't seen two or three. I've seen season one.
Yeah, season one was absolutely amazing, which is why we went ahead and bought season two and three, because we don't have Stars. We don't have satellite or cable or anything. And we don't stream anything that has Stars connected to it, and we don't stream Stars. So, yeah, I know my buddy Steve, he's watched all the seasons, I believe, and they were kind of hoping for another season, but, yeah, not to be. But, yeah, season one, so it's basically like what I was describing I'd love for Briscoe County. You know, he's living in a trailer park, he's older, he still works at S-Mart.
Yeah.
He's got a metal hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, the Deadites are coming back again, and he's got to fight them off one more time, and has to find the chainsaw and all these other attachments, and there's these two younger people that he's fighting them off with. It was a blast. The first season was absolutely amazing. It's on my to-do list for this summer to watch.
The thing, though, about that is they ignore the events of Army of Darkness.
Correct.
Because they don't have, because it's like a different company, so they don't have the rights. Mm-hmm. So it's a little confusing.
It is. It is. But
you know what? I'm here for Bruce. I don't care.
Yeah. He was still great in it. Again, playing the reluctant hero. It's like he didn't want to have to deal with that anymore. But, yeah, Ash versus the Evil Dead. So if anyone else has seen season two and three, I'd love to hear what you guys thought of it. Hopefully it's worth it. I already own them, so it doesn't matter. Now, Burn Notice.
Yeah.
I did not watch Burn Notice all the way through. Burn Notice was one of my dad's favorite shows. He loved watching it. I watched probably the first three seasons, maybe. Yeah,
I couldn't tell you how much Burn Notice. There was a time where I was watching a lot of Burn Notice, though.
Yeah. So how would you describe Burn Notice?
Burn Notice is a spy thriller, kind of. I mean, it was on USA, and it was like around the time of Psych and some other stuff that I really liked. And so Burn Notice is about a spy that gets burned, and he and Bruce Campbell is his is like an ex-CIA or FBI, I think CIA agent, and so he's just kind of like his best buddy. But it's definitely Bruce Campbell's most normal role.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He was Sam Axe. There was a TV movie about him.
Yeah, The Fall of Sam Axe. The Fall of
Sam Axe, which I never saw. But I watched a little bit of Burn Notice, and I just always thought that the main character was kind of an unlikely spy.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, I just want more Bruce Campbell.
Right, exactly. So. I remember, so I usually, if I watched it, I was watching with Dad, you know, like he would have it on if I was visiting or whatnot. And I remember saying that, it's like, we need more Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show had a pretty good supporting cast, too, because Michael Weston, the main character, his mom was in it a lot.
Yeah. It was, I enjoyed it. I don't know, it was just one of those ones where, again, especially once I didn't have cable anymore, it was like, why?
Yeah, why?
I didn't search it out.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I love playing this. So this is a game that we would probably already... Well, we've talked about all the things. With IMDb, you know, they do the known for.
Yeah.
And so Sharon and I will play a game every once in a while where you name the actor and you try to guess the top four things that they're known for. This should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
So what are the top four things?
Are we counting Evil Dead as separate things? Or are they three of the four?
Two of those are in there, so they are separate things.
Okay, so Evil Dead 2.
Nope.
Evil Dead?
The Evil Dead.
And yep. Army of Darkness.
Yep.
Bubba Hotep.
Yep.
The fourth thing, I don't know. Burn Notice?
Nope, it's Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, I thought that was interesting. That Evil Dead 2 wasn't in there.
Yeah, that's weird. I guess, yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, like I said, 424 credits. And again, a lot of these are, oh heck, he even did an episode of Archer. That's funny. A lot of this is voice work,
yeah,
which is just absolutely amazing. And then a ton of stuff that I've never heard of, like a movie called Highly Functional. A TV movie called Adopted. Never heard of that. He does the voice of Richard Nixon in a movie. Spine Chillers, which is a TV series. He does an episode of that. Well, you know what we haven't talked about is books.
Yeah. You own them.
I own two of them.
Oh. How many does he have?
I believe he has three. Let me double check that. So there's there's Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. If Chins Could Kill.
Yeah.
And then Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. And then there's Hail to the Chins.
Oh.
Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. So I have Hail to the Chins, and I have that one at least, but I'm pretty sure if Chins Could Kill, this first one. I do not have Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. I did not realize that was a book. This approach generates some of the most witty showbiz lunacy since This Is Spinal Tap. Oh my gosh. That is not... What the heck? I want to know what the... So this is a review. This is where the 72,444 words of my latest book are cooked down to fit in this space. But how does one do that? Do you reveal pivotal plot points like the one at the end of the book where the little girl on the crutches points an accusing finger and shouts, "The killer is Mr. Potter"? I have too much respect for you as an attention-deficient consumer to attempt such an obvious ruse. You either know who I am, like the cool smoking jacket I'm wearing on the cover, or you've just discovered that the bookstore restroom is out of toilet paper.
Oh my god.
That is hilarious. So it's kind of a fictitious story. That is, oh my god. Alright, I may have to look for that the next time we go to stores. But yeah, so he's written those three books. I know on one of the episodes, not too long ago, we talked about how he wrote a DC comic.
Yeah.
He did, it was...
Sergeant Rock.
Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead, I think is what it's called. I don't think they called it the Evil Dead. And that was fantastic. I thought it was great. And again, I was just envisioning him quoting those lines as Sergeant Rock. So it's just, he's just one of those guys where you just root for. Now, I've never met him at a con.
No.
I know my friend Steve has, and so maybe I should get some input from him. I don't know what he's like interacting with. I hope he's cool to interact with.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just, he's done so much, and he's never been like that upper echelon,
yeah.
And he's just done so much stuff. He's just one of those guys, he's always kind of in the back of the mind. But I just, even the schlocky B stuff, I just love. I don't know. It's just, he whatever he's doing, he still pulls it off, even if it is something schlocky, you know? So, yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, he puts it in. He puts his whole soul into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, did you know, I've been saving this little factoid.
Okay.
Bruce Campbell and I share a birthday.
I did not realize
that. That's correct. Now, obviously not the same day, not the same year.
No.
But it is the same day.
It is. I did not realize. I even looked up his birthday because I knew he was close to my dad's age. He's actually a year younger than what my... He was born the same year as my mom.
Okay. 1958, I read. But June 22nd.
June 22nd.
We share a birthday.
There you go.
So every year I get really excited because it's like, look who was born this day. And I'm like, groovy.
Groovy. Oh, so, man.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell.
What a hero.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, that's right.
But yeah, you can reach out to us anytime you want, Bruce.
Yeah, just, you can come on the show if you want.
Yeah, anytime.
Anytime.
Talk about anything you want.
Yeah.
You can hijack the show. It's okay.
That would happen. He would just talk about one story and we'd be like...
Yeah, we'd be those fanboys just melting on the carpet. What is your favorite Bruce Campbell iteration?
Oh, well, Ash is the best, but I don't know which Ash I like the best because 1, 2, and 3 are all... 1, 2, and Army of Darkness are all very different Ashes, and so is Evil Army of Ash versus the Army of Darkness. He's probably coolest in Army of Darkness because he's really grown into his role by then, but then because they don't have the rights to Army of Darkness in Ash versus the Evil Dead, he's kind of like a washed up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
It is.
But Army of Darkness Ash is, you know, this is my boomstick. So that's probably the coolest Ash.
Exactly. Yeah. That is probably the coolest Ash. I would agree.
Well, he's got the best one liners in Army of Darkness too.
Yes.
Honey, you got real ugly, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah. You found me beautiful ones. Yeah, Army of Darkness is probably the best Ash. I'm torn because I do love the Evil Dead series.
Yeah.
But man, Bubba Hotep is just so fun.
Bubba Hotep is so out of left field. It's like, but like perfectly casted.
Yes. Oh, he just does such a great job. For sentimental reasons, I want to say Briscoe County just because, you know, it's just so fun. And it's goofy and it's still a young Bruce Campbell. Yeah. But man, his turn in Bubba Hotep is just great. He is just awesome. So I probably have to say that.
Yeah.
As much as I love Ash, his turn in Bubba Hotep is just great. If any of you guys and gals and ghouls and goblins and deadites and whatever you are out there... are fans of Mr. Bruce Campbell. We'd love to know what your favorite role of his is.
I forgot my favorite role.
Oh.
Doctor Strange. He's Pizza Papa guy.
Oh my gosh, the Pizza Papa guy. That is great. We should mention that he's in every Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah. At least in some cameo.
Except for, like I said, he filmed for Quick and the Dead, but his scene got cut. But there's always some kind of cameo. He's in every Spider-Man movie that Sam Raimi did. He was in the Doctor Strange, which was hilarious. That was a good role. It's nice to have a friend that's a big-time Hollywood director.
Yeah.
They've done okay for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you got Ted. He's quite the B actor himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was in, Ted Raimi was in Man with the Screaming Brain, I believe. So I can't believe you haven't watched that with me. We'll have to make that happen.
I'll have to amend that.
It's fun. But yeah, so we'd love to hear what your favorite Bruce Campbell project is or what favorite character, favorite voice. Have you read any of the books?
Have you met him?
Have you, if you've met him at a con or a book signing, because he did do a book signing in Columbus.
Oh, wow.
when the second one
came
out.
I remember that.
Yeah, but remember oh my gosh, it was, the place was charging, what were they charging?
I don't remember, but I remember it was, yeah.
It was a little ridiculous. And so, yeah, and you weren't allowed to bring any outside things with you, which I get, because that would just slow things down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a bit pricey. I can't even remember the venue that was doing it, but yeah. So, anywho, my buddy Steve's the one who got me that copy of the book, because he had an extra one. So thanks, Steve. I don't know if you listen to these or not, but hey, you're a swell guy.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. And thanks for all the Evil Dead memories.
Yeah.
Because those were, the Evil Dead, the musicals. God. Those were great. I'll shout out to David, who played the first Ash we witness in that. He's friends with me on Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was a good Ash. He was fun. So, those were some good summers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that we couldn't get you out to those. I'm not sure if we knew you then yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not.
I think this year will be 10 years, by the way.
No kidding.
Of friendship and empowerment. Because I was just out of college, and this will be 10 years. Yeah.
Yes.
Crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy. What's the 10-year anniversary?
I hope it's chainsaws.
I do want you to work on finding a copy of Man with a Shotgun Hand.
All right.
I think that would be fantastic. But 10 years.
It is. The tin or aluminum gifts.
Oh, well, there we go.
I'm going to get you a can of Chef Boyardee.
Beautiful. I'll get you some aluminum foil.
Yeah, ooh.
So you can make a hat out
of
it.
Yeah, so yes. I can stop the government mind rays.
Exactly. Very good.
Your gift is more practical.
Well, you never know.
You can chuck a can of Chef Boyardee at somebody.
That is true.
A zombie or something.
No, yeah. Let them eat this. Don't eat my brains.
That's a good line. Eat this.
Eat this. There we go. We're making movies as we're going. That's awesome.
Sequel to Man with the Shotgun Hand. The Man with the Chef Boyardee Hand.
Yeah. The Chef Boyardee Rocket Launcher.
Yeah.
There you go. Just boom, boom, boom. This is how things happen, folks.
Yeah.
You're witnessing magic.
Yeah.
Just coming out of thin air.
Wild.
All right, well, don't forget to hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. Let us know what you love about Bruce Campbell. And keep an eye out for... Well, no, this isn't the end of the month, so never mind.
Not yet.
This is a different project. So, hey, thanks for sticking around. Hope you enjoyed it. If you've never experienced Bruce Campbell, what should they watch first?
Oh, God. It depends. If you're more of a horror fan, then watch the original Evil Dead.
Yeah.
If you want something kind of goofy, watch Bubba Hotep.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because when you watch Bubba Hotep, he's more Bruce Campbell at that point. He's established himself.
Yes. I would agree. You still have some horror aspects to it, obviously, because of the story. If you're not a horror fan at all, I would say watch Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah.
You know what? We didn't even talk about this silly show that we found out about. Jack of All Trades.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, okay. We still got a few minutes.
Squeeze it in there.
So, as we were doing research for this, and I was going through all of his credits, I came across something called Jack of All Trades, and I vaguely remembered Sharon telling me about this series. So, right before we started recording, we looked at some clips and read a synopsis of the show. It was only on for one season. It's set in 1801, and Bruce Campbell is a roguish adventurer who becomes a special secret agent for Thomas Jefferson to thwart Napoleon's plans of world domination. So it's set, I'm assuming, in France, even though he's a secret agent for Thomas Jefferson. I'm assuming Jefferson sent him over to France, and he's constantly running into this Lord Croquet or Mayor Croquet, and you actually run into Napoleon a few times in this, and I guess they make him extremely short. So I'm almost wondering if they use a little person in the role.
Yeah.
We don't know. We've never seen it. but now we have to.
Right.
So, jack of all trades. Just an absolute bonkers show, it sounds like. Because the one clip we watched, he flips this croquet guy a coin and says, that's for the broken window. And the guy goes, what broken window? And he just goes, ha ha! And he jumps through this window. It's like, what in the hell are we watching right now? So, yes, if anyone's watched Jack of Trades, let us know. I bet the answer is going to be no. But I will find out how to get episodes of Jack of Trades, because it's only 22 episodes,
yeah.
So it's got to be there. And it's from like 2000, so it's after Briscoe County, it's after Hercules, it's after Xena, which I'm not, did we talk about those two?
No, we didn't.
He was, oh God, what was his character's name?
Atrilochus or something like that.
I believe that's correct.
Atrilochus, yeah. I believe.
But he was kind of a trickster, right?
Yeah, he was the King of Thieves.
The King of Thieves, there we go. And that was actually the second thing I saw him in, because, or where I actually recognized him after Briscoe.
Atrilochus. King of Thieves.
Because I'm like, hey, that looks like Briscoe County Jr. And my dad's like, well, that's because it is. Dad loved watching Hercules and Xena. It was wild. But yeah, so Jack of All Trades. I can't believe I even looked that up so we could talk about it. And I almost forgot. Just an absolute fever dream.
Yeah.
So we will report back if we're able to find it and watch it, because it just looks bonkers. So, all right. So, yes, favorite Bruce Campbell, if you've never watched him, Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Bubba Hotep. You can't watch Army of Darkness until you've seen the Evil Dead first, because that'll just be ridiculous. Man with a Screaming Brain, if you love B-movies and you don't want anything horror or too serious, watch that. That is just fun. I give my stamp of approval on that. So, yeah. There we go. Bruce Campbell. Hopefully we did him justice today.
I believe we did.
Because I just dig him.
The man is chincredible.
He is chincredible. There we go. Yep. And on that, I say stay nerdy, my friends.